Welcome to Triple M's album reviews from people who haven't actually heard the album before. Because apparently that's a thing now.
Every music lover is familiar with the story of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band's classic 1967 record, The Beatles. It's a concept album about the four main members of the famous 64-piece marching band, known on the record simply as John, Paul, George and Ringo, breaking away to form their own fictional group, the eponymous Beatles. The story follows the fearsome foursome as they improve their craft on getting better, lose old relationships on She's Leaving Home, and create new ones on Lovely Rita. The high points on the album include Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, a heartbreaking story of the group's first gig at a charity benefit collapsing into disaster, and of course the centrepiece of the record, When I'm 64, where Ringo's soulful baritone and John's deft drumming really stand out as the Beatles realise that maybe they do actually need a little help from their friends and consider reintegration back into the Lonely Hearts Club Band. Just in case you're not familiar with this classic, I don't want to spoil the twist ending for you, but suffice it to say, maybe the real Beatles are the friends we made along the way. 5 stars.
The Wall is the 11th studio album by the English rock band Pink Floyd. It's really good. Yeah, really good. There's lots of really good guitar playing on the songs that are really good. The album cover is like a brick wall, which I think is symbolising how they built the album, with each song like a brick building together to make a wall. But there's not any writing on it. There's just white bricks in a wall. How do we even know it's called The Wall? Well, just because it's a picture of a wall. Maybe it's really called Some White Bricks. Has anyone checked? The Wall by Pink Floyd is, hang on, 82 minutes long. 82? I can't listen to an album for 82 minutes. I've got things to do. Cut it down, lads. 1 hour tops. No one wants to listen to 82 minutes of your songs, even if they are really good. Overall, 4 stars.
Today we are talking about the classic third album from British rock band Radiohead, OK Computer. While the band is clearly a fan of analog transmission, it is so refreshing to see them coming into the modern age and talk about the real life struggles of having a computer that's really just, well, only okay. Radiohead are known for being true kings of reinvention with their sound and the themes and the messages of their work. And I really think this album captures the true struggles of living in the information age and the pressures of capitalism to constantly upgrade your tech. This is really evident in their song Paranoid Android, about a simple man who is worried what his crappy smartphone is doing to his dating game. Everybody knows that women love Apple products. I also felt particularly heard by the song Let Down, which really captures what it's like when you've got a lot to do, but your computer just really wants to install updates and restart all the time, basically every day. Oh, not again.
Reviewing the latest album from a posse out of London called Led Zeppelin, titled Physical Graffiti. It takes them back to their childhood days where they met rough housing and tagging trains in the rail yards. It speaks of a hard knock life for British youth in a pre-Thatcher era. They had to fight for everything they had. And also the creativity of finding spray paint and how that gave young teens a voice that they otherwise didn't have. Standout track for me is a song about cricket in the subcontinent named Kashmir. Physical Graffiti is a triumph, and I rate it 5 stars.
Divinyls by The Divinyls is a brilliant album. The Divinyls are probably my favourite band, actually. I've got everything they've ever made on all formats signed. The lead singer is a bloke called Chris Amphlett. He's amazing. He's such a great voice. My favourite song is about the time Chris did some DIY. He was really proud of it. So he went and stroked as he admired his work, and it's called I Touch My Shelf. Divinyls by The Divinyls is just a brilliant album. 10 out of 10 for sure.
Finally, U2 have released an album completely in German. Hit after hit album in English was getting a bit predictable, if you ask me, so it's about time. On Uktung, U2 go all in, experimenting with the spectrum of German native instruments, the accordion, tuba, zither, and even a Hummelken on the album's opening track. Counting in each track with Eins, Zwei, Drei, Vier, it's a nod to the fatherland. However, I feel like they missed an opportunity by not titling one as Eins. I was blown away by the surprise cameos of German superstar Scorpions on backing vocals and Waldzither on track 3 and Rammstein on the Glockenspiel in track 7. Milli Vanilli were also involved in the Uktung Baby sessions, but producers Daniel Lanios and Brian Eno opted to cut the song they sang on instead. And I heard a rumour that The Edge temporarily changed his name to Kante to completely immerse himself in the project. And did you know that Larry, Adam and Bono are the same in German as they are in English? So they didn't really need to change their names. Here's to hoping more artists follow U2's risk-taking lead and release their own album in German. For me, Uktung Baby is a perfect zen. That's German for 10. I think. I googled how to say it.
As a professional yoga instructor, I really just look for the most soothing and balanced tracks for my session, and I really achieved enlightenment by listening to Nirvana's Nevermind. Some of the tracks... A Territorial Pissings really just helped me get in the zone. 10 out of 10 can recommend for all you yogis.
I guess I should start by apologising to the Beatles. Abbey Road, I believe it's quite famous. It's the one with them walking across the, is it a zebra crossing? I don't know why they didn't call it, you know, the Zebra Crossing album. It would have been much easier than Abbey Road. Was it about an Abigail? Who knows? But, yeah, my apologies to the Beatles. I have not heard the album in full. I know of the opening track, Come Together, which apparently they did. But that's another story for another review. So I'm just going to guess what the album is about. It also annoys me that John at the front is wearing a white suit and his leg is on the white part of the zebra crossing. Like, think that through. Wear maybe a mustard-coloured suit? Is that what that song's about, perhaps? Mean Mr. Mustard. Maybe they were hanging it on John. Or did they have a bad Cluedo game? By the time they got around to Abbey Road, it was pretty much towards the end of their career. They'd sort of done all the experimental stuff. We thought that they'd left the wacky behind with Yellow Submarine, but oh no, there's an octopus's garden. Why would an octopus be in a garden? Aren't they a seafaring animal? Bet you John wrote that one. I reckon the writing was on the wall for George to maybe start thinking about his own stuff with, you know, Here Comes the Sun, Sun King, Golden Slumbers. I think he was sort of making a fair play to go, I'm out of here. The other three are dragging me down, especially Ringo. This is all conjecture, of course, because I just haven't listened to the album at all. I mean, why would you bother listening to an album before you talk about it? Abbey Road by the Beatles, released in 1969. So I think Yoko and John would have been together at this point, which brings me to the track as she came in through the bathroom window. Is that how Paul saw it, perhaps? And she just dragged her way in and shook things up for the Beatles? Like a scene from The Ring, which obviously hadn't been heard of at that point. To the Fab Four and their second last album, Abbey Road, I give it 5 stars. With only ever hearing one song, Come Together.